Gamble Aware Week here this week.
What's gambling costing you? Being distracted on date night? Taking a staycation instead of an overseas vacation? Getting behind at work? Or is it costing you sleep at night? This Gamble Aware Week asks the question, what's gambling costing you?
What's gambling costing you? Well, it costs a lot of people more than just money. It costs relationships. It costs all sorts of things. It costs careers, etc. Well, somebody who's very much involved with the problems of gambling is my next guest, Ashley Gordon, who's the manager of the New South Wales Aboriginal Safe Gambling Service. Ash, who I've spoken to on numerous occasions over the years, was the very first player signed to a contract by the Newcastle Knights, which was late 87, prior to the first season of the mighty Red and Blues in 88. And Ashley Gordon is on the line. Morning, Ashley.
Good morning.
You've worked in this field, particularly with Indigenous or First Nations people, and we've heard a lot in the lead-up to The Voice. Is it a bigger problem with Indigenous Australians, with Aboriginal Australians, gambling? Are there any figures on that, Ash?
Yeah, definitely. Aboriginal people are around 18%. When it looks at people experiencing serious harm caused by gambling, comparison to non-Indigenous people around the 1.5 to 2%. Yeah, quite significantly higher.
And why do you think that is?
I think it's predominantly the prevalence rates are quite high in unemployment when in poor socioeconomic communities. So it's usually the poor or the people who don't have a lot of money who find their ways to gambling, whether that's try and gain more money to escape, you know, from the anxiety and the pressures of life. So most of the money we see put into particular poker machines from poor socio-economic communities.
So you'd be one that would have been very much in favour of the cashless gambling, which, of course, the previous Perrottet government was very much in favour of implementing, but not this Labor government.
Yeah, look, I was part of the Productivity Commission report more than a decade ago, and the recommendations that came from that were very watered down, so... Look, we're just trying to put in measures to help people who are struggling, but also help people make a sensible decision before they go and spend. You know, we're not trying to stop it or to say it's wrong, but we do want to help people make, you know, informed choices, particularly at the beginning of the night before alcohol, you know, starts to affect people. So at the end of the day, the card was a decision to be made early on in the night. And hopefully they make a sensible decision before, you know, they get intoxicated.
Well, look, the New South Wales government said they're going to redirect that $100 million fine that was imposed on Star Casino by the New South Wales Independent Casino Commission over 5 years to fund harm minimisation initiatives. What do we mean by harm minimisation initiatives, Ashley? How do you minimise gambling harm?
Well, I think the biggest thing, and you're seeing with sports advertising now, they're always finishing with the one line of gamble responsibly. So at the end of the day, we want to educate the communities around what is responsible gambling, what is safe gambling. So obviously, getting people to understand to gamble within their means, within the budget, you know, not spending too much time, not thinking that gambling is a way to make me more money. So we just want to educate, you know, the pitfalls of particularly poker machines when people don't understand how they operate how they can be very addictive. That's the most common form of gambling when it comes to seeing people in treatment. Obviously, lotteries is the most popular form of gambling, but at the end of the day, we just want to educate and inform, particularly our disadvantaged young men in particular. This time of year, with horse racing and betting and sports betting, so I just want to ensure they're not gambling more than they can afford. And I see a lot of people, even with NRL players, it starts out as a habit, but that habit builds and builds, and by the time they finish the game, it's a full-blown addiction.
14 past 8, daylight saving time. My guest, Ashley Gordon, he was the first player signed to a contract by the Newcastle Knights back in late 87 and has for a number of years now been the manager of the New South Wales Aboriginal Safe Gambling Service. Obviously, you were very much in favour of the yes vote, being an Indigenous Australian. You were quoted by Michael Parris in the Newcastle Herald over the weekend after the result that you were fearful Saturday's referendum results reflects Australians' attitudes to Indigenous people. fearful.
If you sit back and just analyse the result, you've got to digest that. We're it's very divided, and I just want to know, really, where the Australian population sits in regards to their perceptions of Aboriginal people, and the perceptions of what they think the future is going to look like, and, you know, regards to reconciliation and working together and trying to work out strategies to help those at need, particularly those, you know, who are really struggling today, who are living in third world conditions. I just fear that, I don't know, have people given up? Are people not wanting to be more aware and understanding of our history and how it's impacted people still today, why we're still living in these type of conditions? I hope that Australia are in for the fight with us, you know, and not over it, and they want to be educated to learn more about, you know, those struggles.
Look, I mentioned this morning, and we've had a bit of feedback on it, Jacinta Price, the Northern Territory Senator, she wants a Royal Commission into child abuse in remote Indigenous communities. That's been rejected by the Greens and Labor. And she has said that, look, and there needs to be an audit of Indigenous program spending and a push for practical initiatives. I mean, she was front and centre of the No campaign, but do you agree with some of what Jacinta Price has had to say?
Oh, definitely. If I've seen it firsthand in a lot of remote communities, but we do need to call it out, and we do need to support our children and make sure they're safe. But we do need programs that are effective. We can't be changing government every 3 years. We need consistency, and that has been the problem, is consistency in communities. I'm a believer in making sure we spend every dollar effectively. I'm really keen to make sure, and that's what I thought the Voice would do, is having experienced, qualified people on that Voice to help and assist government to make sure money isn't misspent and make sure it's value for dollar.
Yeah.
And we move forward. But now I don't know how that's going to happen. So that's why I'm really interested to hear the no vote and the government now to say, well, where do we go from here?
Yes. Yeah. All right. Look, changing tack, as a former Dally M winger of the year, Ashley, there's been a lot said about the fact that a number of Kangaroos, Australian Rugby League representatives, didn't sing the national anthem. Jonathan Thurston and Mal Meninga have come out and said, well, that's their choice. You know, they don't have to sing the national anthem. Do you have a view on that? If you're playing for your country, should you have to sing the national anthem?
I think I teach it now. It's called cultural safety. It's about ensuring that people can go to work and be who they are in their own skin and their own identity without discrimination, you know, or criticism. So at the end of the day, we are a very diverse a nation now. And so we have to understand inclusion. We have to understand that, you know, we should be allowed to assist people to be who they are, and they feel comfortable doing that. Max Krillich didn't sing the anthem, so I don't know why his criticism, you know, a lot of Australian teams before us didn't sing the anthem.
Yes.
I do think we need to be a bit more understanding. We don't know anyone's story, their journey and how they've grown up in this country, so let's just be supportive of every individual, and if they sing, they sing. If they don't, they don't. Like, they're wearing the jersey and they're playing their heart out. What more do you want?
And look, I'm very supportive of you now that you've decided to see the light, and you've joined the Newcastle Rugby League team that I've supported because I lived in the area for a long time. It's Central Newcastle now. What will your role be? And congratulations, by the way. You're on the coaching staff, I believe, for next season?
Yeah, I'm just going to help Adam Bettridge, predominantly with the reserve grade team. So I've been a part of Central, you know, since my son's played up there at the age of 9, so I've been definitely 10 years. So at the end of the day, I've had a bit of a break and ready to go back and help the club. A lot of the boys that I coach are still going to be there, so looking forward to it.
Go the Butcher Boys. Mate, thank you very much for your time this morning, Ashley, and have a great Wednesday.
No worries. Take care.
Ashley Gordon, nice chap. He was the very first player signed by the Knights. And as I said, I think it was 1999, he won the Dally M Winger of the Year Award. He was signed in 87 and was, as I said, the very first player signed by the Newcastle Knights for their first season in 88.